Once again, Palmolive Brushless and Palmolive Lather. Palmolive, the largest selling brand of shave creams in the world, presents Can You Top This? Starring Senator Ford.
Good evening.
Harry Hirschfield.
Howdy.
And Joe Laurie Jr.
Hello.
And now, here is Palmolive Shave Cream's master of ceremonies, Ward Wilson.
Good evening, friends. Welcome to Can You Top This? Our unrehearsed joke jamboree. Our three wits do not know what jokes have been chosen until the people's representative, Peter Donald, tells them on the air. Our three gagsters have no scripts. They rely on memory and ability to switch jokes and make them fit the subject. If Peter Donald tells your submitted story, you get $10 plus a phonograph record, personally autographed by our wits, of Peter Donald telling your story on the air. The laughs are registered on the big Palmolive shave meter in full view of the studio audience. Each time the wits fail to top your score, you win an additional $5, which means you may win $25. So let's get on with the laughs. Are you ready, gentlemen?
Ready.
I feel all right.
That's very nice to hear, Senator. And we hope you do after this first round. First joke of the evening comes from Mrs. Anna McCandless of Emmigsville, Pennsylvania. It's on the subject of something I imagine all of you gentlemen have or have had at one time or another. Secretary. So, Peter, you deliver and we'll take notes.
Well, Sadie DeKalb, the Brooklyn bombshell, got a job as a secretary one time to a big businessman, Mr. Puget, and he was interviewing her. He said, now, Mr. Kalb, I'm very particular about efficiency in my office. I need a lot of speed and zip. I dictate a lot of letters. It's essential that I have a shorthand expert. Are you quite well equipped to handle that? Are you familiar at all with Greg?
He said, well, I haven't been here long. Is he the nice boy in the shipping room?
He said, no. I have to have my letters sent out very promptly. He said, because that's the way my business operates. Now, can you handle my mail rapidly?
She says, oh, certainly. At the last place I worked, the fellow wanted his letters sent out so quick that I didn't even type them up. I just mailed out my notes in shorthand.
Well, he says, Mr. Kalb, he says, there's just one more thing. I'm very, very fussy about my letters. Not alone do I expect you to spell every word correctly, but I am a stickler for punctuation. You must punctuate every single sentence perfectly.
Well, she says, I'm a very, very good in business school, and I'll do my best. But just in case I should be in doubt as to where to put a little comma, semicolon, or something, I'll ask you. Is that all right?
He said, very well. I'll help you out any way I can. Now we'll start. I'll take a letter. This is to be addressed to the Spiffy Waterworks.
She says, oh, just a moment.
He said, what is it?
She says, tell me, is waterworks all one word, or between water and works do I put a hydrant?
Well, the way you told that joke was anything but all wet, Pete. That was a solid 1,000 on the Palmolive shave meter, automatically giving Mrs. McCandless $25 and putting our three wits to the extreme test.
What a hydrant between Doberman and Pinchy.
Oh, no. Well, you said you felt all right tonight, Senator. Now you're proving it. Let's see. I don't see many hands up on it now. They're going up 1, 2, 3. And the first one raised indubitably belonged to Harry Hirschfield.
Paul Gerard Smith, the very famous playwright, happens to be in the studio tonight, incidentally. He hasn't heard this one in years with this switch. There's an employer says to his wife, gee, I got a new secretary, a fella in my office. He's the happiest guy in the world. When you come in sometime, you'll hear him sing. So the next day he comes to the secretary and he says, listen, I want you to sing with your work. You know, be happy, sing. The fella says, I don't sing. He says, you'll sing, all right. Sing, you know, I don't care. Especially if I'm in secret consultation, you know, with the stenographer, you know, that blonde stenographer, if I'm in secret session in my office and my wife comes in, I want you to pick up the receiver that goes to my office and I want you to yodel in it. He said, yodel? He said, yes, you know, here comes the old lady, the old lady.
Oh, Harry, I'm sure Mr. Smith has never heard it in exactly that switch. However, it fooled around 900 and then jumped up to 1,000 and stayed there on the Palmolive shave meter, which ties Mrs. McCandless 1,000 but doesn't top it. She's financially still floating her own. And Joe Laurie Jr. was the second hand.
That's race. Hard to sing like that with his teeth.
Let him try it with yours, Joe.
I get mine all right. The one I want to tell is about this fellow taking the secretary out night clubbing one night. And he's there, and he's buying wine and drinking and dancing, and he's at the table, and he's getting cockeyed and cut. Oh, he's getting pretty blind. He says, come on, honey, give me a kiss, will you? Come on, give us a kiss. Come on, give us a little hug, will you? Hold my hand, honey. Come on, give us a kiss. Give us a hug. Come on, sit on my lap. Finally, she turns to him. She says, listen, boss, we're out for fun tonight. Can't you forget the office?
Well, I can't forget that you got a solid 1,000 on the Palmolive
Oh,
changes.
Ole.
So that makes the second time that we've tied Mrs. McCandless's 1,000 through the medium of Peter Donnell and puts the senator a little bit in the spot to give us a perfect round.
Yeah, yeah?
Yeah, why not?
Well, during the war, a fellow by the name of Clem Schwartzky's had a secretary whose name was Misguided. She was a very homely dame. She had a kisser that only a mother could love, and she had ears like shovels. They were always picking up dirt. And she was always making passes at the boss. But one day she walked in, one morning she walked in, she said, say, bossy, do you see anything new about me? I said, you mean you got new shoes? I said, no. New dress? No. New necklace? No. He says, I give up. She stamped her foot and she says, oh, you, can't you see I'm wearing a gas mask?
Well, you dude it all right, Senator. That was another 1,000 on the Palmolive shave meter.
I had time enough to think up another one in case that didn't go, I'll tell you that.
Why don't you tell it anyway?
No, never mind.
All right. We'll skip blithely over it then to report the first perfect round of the evening. And so we send Mrs. McCandless $25 with the compliments of Palmolive shave creams, plus a 1,000 club certificate. And in addition, we're sending Mrs. McCandless an actual phonograph record of Peter Donnell telling her story on the air. And now to continue our contest of wit and humor, here's a joke which was sent in by Mr. A. Austin of South Miami, Florida. And it's on the subject of profession. Profession. So, Pete, give it that professional touch.
Well, this happened over in London, and two British actors, Hilary Cummerbund and Willoughby Creamcloth, who hadn't seen each other for many years, they met in Piccadilly, and they were talking over old times. And Willoughby said, I say, Hilary, old fruit, he says, so what are you doing now, old boy?
Well, he said, I'm still in the theatre, my dear fellow, I'm still in the theatre. I've had many more successes since I became a character actor, doing very well, you know. Did you see Lady Windermere's Fan? I was the one who plugged it in, you know, doing very well. And then in the London company of a Bel Ferradano, I played the jerk on the rope. It's a good part. Doing very well. He said, are you doing the same thing these days?
He said, oh, no, old boy. He said, I've made a few changes since I left you, you know. He said, I'm independently wealthy now. I stopped being an actor. I'm a writer.
Well, he said, that's jolly, isn't it? That's absolutely tickety-boo. I'm glad to hear it. But tell me, what sort of writing do you do to get all this money? You write for newspapers or magazines?
He says, oh, no, I don't write for any newspapers or magazines. Every week I write to my rich uncle for a check.
You better write him again. Pete is scanning the paper for some semblance of a joke, apparently. Didn't on that sheet either, huh, Pete?
Oh, the old lady.
Oh. Well, I wish I could yodel the tidings to you, Peter. That joke. Okay, come closer, will you? Got 100 on the Palmolive shaving. Zooming one out. Throw it away is a good idea. Well, now, let's see. You fellas ought to be in clover now to top that one. Mr. Austin starts out with $10, and I'm afraid that's where he's liable to finish, too. But we give our three wits a chance, and Joe Lurie wants to
be
the first one.
You haven't heard me yet.
What can I lose?
You'll get around it.
Well, this Scotchman goes up to this doctor, and he says, doctor, he says, my little boy here, he says, he swallowed a coin. I think he swallowed a quarter. Will you examine him and get the quarter out? So he says, well, I'll put him under the fluoroscope and see what happens, and put him under. He says, oh, definitely, there is a coin there. He says, well, we don't want to touch it today. He says, you bring him tomorrow morning, and I'll operate on him and get it out. I'll get that coin out. So he goes away. Next day, the Scotchman don't show up with the kid. And the doctor don't know where he lives or anything, and he finally wonders, and next day he doesn't show up either. So he finds out where the Scotchman lives and goes up to see him. He says, I'll drop in on my way home. And he drops in, he says, Mr. McPherson, he says, you brought your little boy over a couple of days ago. He had definitely had a coin there, and I told you I'd operate the next day. What happened? He says, well, when I got home, he says, doctor, he says, I counted over my money again. And he says, it was only just a penny missing, so I thought I wouldn't bother at all. Ole, ole.
Well, you succeeded after a fashion, Joe. The palm olive shave meter gave that one 450.
Why, that's not a fashion. That's out of style.
Well, it sort of sneaked up to that. So it does top Mr. Austin's 100. He still holds his $10. And Senator Ford, I think, had his hand raised second.
Well, two quarterwits were talking, and one of them said, you know that dame there, that Miss Trumpet? So she's a professional model, you know. She's a clothes horse. You know, she always walks around with clothes, different kind of clothes on. He says, you know, she always dresses right for the occasion. If she goes out walking, she wears walking clothes. And if she goes out riding, she wears riding clothes. And if she goes to an evening party, she wears evening clothes. The other guy says, what does she wear to a birthday party?
Well, Senator, the bare truth is that that got 1,000 on the palm olive shave meter that time. Very noisy one, too, which tops Mr. Austin's 100 by 900. So he still has his $10, and the only party we haven't heard from is Harry Hirschfield.
Yeah. Well, yeah. This could follow the senators if that's practically on the same subject. Finnegan was asking Callahan, he says, what became of Timothy? What does he do? He says, Timothy, he says, runs a dancing school, you know. He's the director of dancing and everything. He says, what sort of a thing is that, Timothy, for a thing like that? That's dancing. What? He says, come up and see for yourself. As they came into this big dance hall, and there was the music blaring and all that kind of stuff. And he looked at him and he says, can you imagine this? That's what's wrong with this world. This modern dancing. This modern dancing is nothing but hugging and necking. But he says, what are you complaining about? He says, I don't see the need for the music.
I don't see any need for me to mention that was 1,000 on the palm olive shave meter that time, too, Harry, but it was. So, since all three of our wits topped Mr. Austin's 100 that time, we send Mr. Austin $10. And let's make him feel a little happier. We sent him a copy of the Can You Top This joke book written by our three wits and now on sale wherever books are sold. And in addition, we're sending, believe me, Mr. Austin an actual phonograph record of Peter Donald telling his story on the air. With which he puts on a pair of dark glasses to hide out.
You know what? I could tell about the profession, about the fat man's lawyer.
What's that, Joe?
Corporation lawyer. Never mind. Go ahead.
Yeah, come to think of it, you could tell that.
Yeah, I could, but I won't.
Let's
start again.
Well, let's start with a new joke, and this one comes from Mrs. Ruth Gelber of the Bronx, New York, and it's on the subject of problem, of which I hope you don't have too many, and Pete, in your case, I hope all of them may be small ones.
Well, I think I've had mine for the evening anyway. This is about a kind of a dopey guy by the name of Herkimer Jerkimer, and he goes down to his club and he meets his friend Willie down there, his best friend. He says,
hello, Willie.
He says, hiya, Hike.
He says, what's wrong? You're trembling like an aspirin leaf. You look nervous. What's wrong?
He says, well, I am a little upset, you know. I just seen them flying saucers.
He said, you saw the flying saucers?
He says, yeah, me wife got mad and threw a set of dishes at me.
So the other fellow says, he says, thank goodness there's more. The other fellow says,
well, as long as you're talking about marriage, he says, I got a problem. Maybe you could help me out.
He says, yeah, certainly. We're buddies. What's your problem?
Well, he says, you know, me and my girlfriend, Citronella Beaverboard, we've been keeping company for 11 years now, and I was wondering if we should get married.
Well, he says, I don't think that's any fleeting infatuation or nothing. Citronella's hope chest is starting to grow a little moss on the north side. Yeah, I would say after you've known the girl for 11 years, by all means get married.
He said, well, you see, that's where the problem comes in. Because I've been calling on my girl regularly. And if we get married, I won't have no place to go on Wednesday and Saturday evening.
Yeah.
Well, you knew where to go with that one, Pete. That was right to the top, 1,000 on the Palm Olive shave meter.
Say, Ward, I might come
yes,
in here if you don't mind.
Yeah,
maybe
let's
those
stand.
Flying discs are just records escaping from disc jockeys.
There's an idea.
Oh, Harry told that one to me.
Well, let's see. I want to take a look at the figures here. Mrs.
Now
Gelber,
you know
now.
Why I told it to you.
Mrs. Gelber has $25 to start off with, and for the second time tonight, our three wits are challenged right up to the hilt. And let's see. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe, and so we hear from Little Joe.
Well, there's a woman teaching school on the Lower East Side in New York, and she had this class in night school and all, and she gave them different problems, and finally she calls on Montgomery. She says, Montgomery, can you spell the word congeal? She says, what? She says, congeal. He says, you ever heard the lesson? He says, C-O-N-G-E-A-L, congeal. She says, that's right. That's fine, Montgomery. That's fine. Now, you got the spelling proper. Now, she says, can you use it in a sentence? He says, well... Jack congeal then up the hill.
Oh, the old lady. Well, Joe, that was the 1,000 on the Palm Olive shave meter, needless to say, tying Mrs. Gelber's 1,000, but not topping it. And we'll move along now and see what Harry Hirschfield has to offer.
Pete, talking about that goof before the... Oh. I heard, I think, it's a brand new moron story. There was a goof, this moron, and they finally had to go to school. They insisted, the law said he had to go to school. So this day that he went to school was a very snowy day. So they got him rubbers, and he slopped through the snow, and he finally got to the schoolhouse. And when he got there, the teacher said, put your rubbers in the closet with the rest of the pupils. So he put his rubbers in there. 4 o'clock in the afternoon, she dismissed the class. They all went and got the rubbers. And he's standing there, yet looking in the closet. Says, why don't you go home? Says, I can't find my rubbers. Says, aren't those your rubbers? Says, no. Mine had snow on them.
I don't know about anybody else, Harry, but that was brand new to me. You have no doubt about what that got, Harry. 1,000 on the Palm Olive shave meter really winging up there. And for the second time this evening, we have a perfect round underway. And we have yet to hear from the senator who's...
Wish I could tell that one.
Try it all over.
That's a new one to me. I never heard that one before. Well, a very fond mother said to her, I guess it's come under that of problems, I don't know. If it doesn't just rule it out, I don't care. Well, anyway, a fond mother said to a 7-year-old boy, she said, William, if you ever have any problems at all, any questions you want to ask, ask me. Don't ask your little friends. I'll tell you everything. So 3 or 4 days later, he came back. He says, Mama, will you tell me the truth about something if I ask you? She said, yes, if I know what it is. He said, you promise to tell me everything about it? And she said, yes, I will. Then after a long pause, he said, Mama, how do they make bricks?
Donald just walked across stage and retrieved the earlier joke he'd thrown away and put it right back in his collection. Well, Pete, I'm going to surprise you. That one flicked 950 and then just clipped 1,000. So in order to be fair and square, I must say that it...
Well, I guess this one would be a problem, too, Ward, if you have time to toss another one in. I don't
sure,
care about this one either. A plumber was working in Mrs. Cantilever Springs' kitchen. And all of a sudden he said, lady, have you got a toy sailboat? She said, why? He said, you could sail it. I can't fix the leak.
Well, that did equally as well. Another 1,000 on the Palm Olive shave meter, Senator. I'm glad you tossed that one in. And let's see. For the second time tonight, we have a perfect round going. But in spite of your valiant efforts, gentlemen, we send Mrs. Gelber $25 with the compliments of Palm Olive shave creams, plus a 1,000 club certificate. And in addition, we're sending Mrs. Gelber an actual phonograph record of Peter Donald telling her story on the air.
Now, here's Dan Donaldson with the biggest shaving news in history.
Should shaving comfort be forgot?
And shavers rant and rave.
Oh, no, my friend, your worries end
with palm olive brushless shave.
Ah, rare voices tonight, rare voices. However, we'll forget it. The next joke was sent in by Mrs. Len Dombrowski of Nanticoke, Pennsylvania, and it's on the subject of something some of us are afflicted with, precocious children. Precocious children. So, Pete, I hope your new arrival is not, but go ahead anyway.
Well, this happened on a railroad train, and there's a very, very stuffy business The fellow who works in an office, he's sitting there on the train, and he's got the piping on the vest, and he seems very important. He's reading the Wall Street Journal, looking over the stock market reports, and behind him is a woman with a very precocious, restless, little noisy boy back there. So the kid says, go on, ask him, Mama, go on, ask him, Mama, go ahead, ask him, go ahead, ask him. So finally the mother gives in, and she leans over the executive, and she taps him right on the Wall Street Journal.
She said they've been you through with the paper. Couldn't mind until you look at the funnies.
The executive said, madam, there is nothing funny these days in the Wall Street Journal.
She's got no funny papers? Not Smiling Jake or Daisy May and Little Adler and none of those?
He said, no. Now, please leave me alone. So she goes back, but all of a sudden the kid is climbing around. 2 minutes later, he's leaning over the fellow's shoulder. He's dripping ice cream all over his coat. He said, madam, your little boy is dripping strawberry ice cream on my coat.
She says, I know, they were all out of chocolate to talk.
So this goes on. The kid is bouncing around and pulling at him and making a whole thing. And the mother doesn't seem to mind. It's her only child. She thinks it's cute, see? So finally, the man can't stand it. He says, madam, your kid is getting in my hair. Well, that gave the little boy an idea. He reaches for the guy's hair and he grabs, and all the hair comes away in his hand. So the mother says, Junior, she says, honeysuckle, that's not nice. The fellow says, that's not nice. Is that all you can say when your brat pulled off my wig?
She said, pulled off your wig? Well, what do you know? The joke is on me. I thought he scalped you.
Oh, Pete. Once again, hotter than a firecracker, and this is the 5th of July, too. A roaring 1,000 for Mrs. Dombrowski on the palm olive shave meter. Once again, making it impossible for our three wits to top, but they can try to tie, and the first hand raised belonged to the senator this time.
Well, that gag of Pete's remind me of the two kids. One says, why does an Indian wear feathers on his hat? The other kid said to keep his wig warm.
Well, but huh? I thought you were going to tell me about another Indian or something.
No, no more Indian.
Well, that got heap big 700 on the palm olive shave beater that time, Senator.
Did you count that?
Yeah.
I just threw that in.
Huh? Oh, well, maybe I'll throw it out. Who can tell?
I tell you about another precocious kid, just fresh kids, precocious children, yeah.
Well,
Bobby Soxers would come under that, wouldn't it?
In most of them.
This Bobby Soxer was out at a school prom. And she met a boy she hadn't met before, and after a couple of dances, they went out and sat under a tree in the moonlight, and he said, what would I have to give you for a little kiss? And she said, chloroform.
That's the one I'll accept, Senator. That's 1,000 on the $5 shave meter, tying the round up with Mrs. Dombrowski's 1,000, and Harry Hirschfield's hand was upset.
Well, here's a typical Joe Laurie, and I'm going to beat him to it. The teacher's talking to the pupils, and finally little Sammy says, my father, you know, went out for his horseback riding the other day, and he's now a mental case. Says, that's the trouble with you, psychiatry, the kids know today. What do you mean your father's a mental case? Says, after he took that horseback ride, he has to stand and eat from the mental.
Well, Well, needless to say, the kid was precocious, Harry, and that was a zooming 1,000 on the palm olive shave meter, once again tying Mrs. Dembosky's 1,000 and leaving little Joe yet to go.
Well, this kid comes down for breakfast and his mother says to him, Johnny, wash your teeth. He says, right to breakfast. I'm going to give me. Johnny, did you wash your teeth? I'll be later. Go upstairs and wash your teeth at once. You hear? Oh, Johnny. So he goes upstairs. Comes down about 5 minutes later. Sits down, starts eating. She says, did you wash your teeth? He says, yeah, and yours too.
He was really a precocious kid, Joe, and that was 1,000 on the palm olive shave meter, giving us another perfect round for tonight and sending Mrs. Dembosky $25 with the compliments of palm olive shave creams plus a 1,000 club certificate. And in addition, we're sending Mrs. Dembosky an actual phonograph record of Peter Donald telling her story on the air.
This is Jerry Hendiga saying stay tuned for more of these great old radio classics.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
I'd like to remind you that all programs aired on same time, same station come directly from our CD masters. They are all available on CD or cassette. For more details on how to purchase these cassettes or CDs, you may go to our website at otrsite.com. That's OTR as in old time radio, site, S-I-T-E. otrsite.com, or email jerry@otrsite.com, or you may call area code 562-696-4387. If you missed anything, this information will be repeated at the end of the program. Welcome back to Same Time, Same Station, the best of old-time radio. And I'm your host each week at this time, Jerry Henry.